Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 226 of Paranormal Stories. And in this episode, I'm going to read about the reincarnation case of Uttara Huda. In 1974, in Nagpur, India, a 32-year-old woman named Uttara Huda began speaking as someone else. Until then, she had lived a recognisably modern, educated life. She came from a Marathi-speaking family, held postgraduate degrees, and was known as intelligent, reserved, and thoughtful. Then, during a period of illness and spiritual practice, another personality emerged. This woman called herself Sharada. She did not speak Marathi. She spoke Bengali. She dressed, behaved, and worshipped like a married Bengali woman from another century, and insisted she belonged not in Nagpur, but in Bengal. Uttara was born on the 14th of March 1941. Her family background contained a few suggestive links with Bengal, but no simple explanation for Sharada. Her father, G.M. Huda, admired Bengal and its freedom fighters, and Uttara herself had some interest in Bengali culture. She read Bengali literature in translation and had once learned a little Bengali from a friend. Yet this limited exposure seemed far short of fluency. Uttara's ordinary languages were Marathi, Hindi, and English, with some Sanskrit. In her normal state, she was not fluent in Bengali. In the Sharada state, however, she appeared not to understand Marathi, Hindi, or English, and only responded in Bengali. There were also early details that later seemed to echo Sharada's story. Uttara had a strong fear of snakes. Her mother said that during pregnancy she had recurring dreams of being bitten on the toe by a snake. Years later, Sharada would describe her death as the result of a cobra bite on the right toe while she was picking flowers. On its own, this proves nothing. Within the larger case, it became one more strand in a pattern. The first major episodes occurred while Uttara was receiving treatment at a private clinic-cum-ashram run by a homeopathic physician. After meditation sessions with a visiting yogi, her behaviour changed. She became withdrawn, agitated, and disoriented. Soon she began speaking Bengali and identifying herself as Sharada. Her family saw a striking alteration in her posture, voice, habits, and manner. She dressed in Bengali style, placed vermilion in the parting of her hair as a married woman would, covered her head modestly with her sari, and behaved around men with the reserve expected in a traditional household. She seemed to regard Uttara's relatives not as family, but as strangers. Sharada gave a coherent life story. She said she had been born in Burdwan on Jamashtami in the month of Bhadrapad. Her family, she said, had roots in the Saptagram region of Bengal, particularly Kestapur and Bansbera. Her father was a priest. Her mother had died when she was young, and she had been raised by relatives. She said she was married about 7 years old to an Ayurvedic physician. Later, while pregnant and staying with relatives near Saptagram, she went out to pick flowers and was bitten by a king cobra on the right toe. Her last memory was of being carried away. Then came darkness. When she found herself in Nagpur, she believed she had awakened far from home in a strange body among strange people. The investigation began in earnest after the case attracted wider attention in 1975. Ian Stevenson, the University of Virginia psychiatrist, known for his field studies of children who claimed previous life memories, heard of the case through a newspaper report. Because such cases can quickly become affected by publicity, suggestion, and repeated retelling, he asked Indian colleagues to investigate promptly. Satwant Pashrisha visited Nagpur in June 1975 and interviewed Uttara, her parents, her brother, and others who had witnessed the changes. On 2nd of July 1975, a tape recording was made of Sharada speaking Bengali. This became one of the case's most important pieces of evidence, allowing the language claim to be examined beyond family testimony. The Bengali itself became central. Professor P. Powell, a Bengali-speaking researcher, visited the Hudar family several times between 1975 and 1977 and spoke directly with Sharada during several appearances. He and other Bengali witnesses reported that her speech was not the Bengali of a modern student reciting memorized sentences. It was responsive, idiomatic, and sometimes archaic. She used Sanskritic and older expressions and avoided many modern English loanwords. She also appeared able to recognize regional speech differences. For investigators, this mattered greatly. A person can memorize names, phrases, and fragments of folklore. It is far harder to sustain spontaneous conversation in an unlearned language while maintaining a distinct identity. The next stage was to test Sharada's memories against geography and family history. R.K. Sinha travelled to Bengal in May 1975 to search for the people and places she had named. His inquiries led into Satinath Chattopadhyay of Bansberia, who possessed a male line genealogy extending back into the early 19th century, the period suggested by Sharada's account. She had given names of male relatives, her father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather, brothers and uncles. Sinha copied the relevant names from the genealogy and returned to Nagpur. The information was not simply handed to Sharada. She was questioned, and her answers were compared with the material Sinha had found. Several of her statements reportedly matched the genealogy. One brother she named did not appear in the genealogical list, but his existence was later reported in an 1827 real estate deed. This detail is especially intriguing, because family genealogies often omit or simplify lines, while legal documents preserve names for practical reasons. Not everything could be verified. The genealogy recorded males only, so Sharada herself was not listed. Her husband and father-in-law could not be firmly confirmed, partly because some places connected with her memories lay in what is now Bangladesh, making archival work difficult. Even so, the number of apparently correct names, relationships, and place references gave the case unusual weight. Sharada also supplied cultural and geographical details that seemed to belong to Bengal rather than Maharashtra. She spoke of temples, villages, routes, family customs, and domestic practices. Investigators later listed numerous statements about local geography and buildings that were found to be accurate. She preferred Bengali food, followed Bengali customs, and worshipped Durga rather than Ganesh, whose worship would have been more familiar in Ottara's Maharashtrian environment. She appeared uncomfortable with modern objects, light switches, telephones, wristwatches, trains, cars, and tape recorders. Her responses gave the impression of someone trying to make sense of a world she did not recognize. Witnesses also described clear transitions between Uttara and Sharada. Before the change, there were often periods of fatigue or stupor. When Sharada emerged, she spoke differently, moved differently, and carried herself differently. Uttara's ordinary memories receded. Sharada's memories came forward. At times, Sharada seemed to relive the death scene. She pointed to the toe where the snake had bitten her. There were reports of a mark on the toe and the discoloration of the lips, tongue, and mouth, suggestive to observers of poisoning. In reincarnation research, such bodily echoes are considered important because they suggest memory acting not only through words, but through the body. The case was not studied by Stevenson alone. V.V. Akulkar, an Indian psychologist, made an independent investigation, interviewing around 20 people, reviewing correspondence, examining the work done in Bengal, and checking material in major Indian libraries. He also considered documentary evidence, including the old real estate deed. Psychological and neurological tests were carried out. Uttara's electroencephalogram showed no abnormality, and in ordinary life, she was not regarded as psychotic or intellectually impaired. The central fact remained the remarkable contrast between Utara's normal personality and Sharada's identity. The reincarnation case of Utara Hudar endures because it combines narrative force with investigative substance. Sharada arrived with a name, a language, a family structure, a geography, and a remembered death. Some details remained beyond verification, as one would expect in a case reaching back to early 19th century Bengal. But many were checked and found to correspond with records, places, and living traditions. For those open to reincarnation, Utara's case suggests that a human life may not vanish cleanly at death. It may persist, carrying language, memory, fear, and unfinished longing, until, under rare conditions, it speaks again. In this episode, I was talking about the reincarnation case of Utara Hudar. And my book on verified near-death experiences is on Amazon. You can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And please check out my new website, simonbound.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.